Hello and welcome back to another installment of Casual Trekker. This is Scott. This is going to be my overall quick review of Season 4 of Star Trek Lower Decks. For most of the duration of the Season 4, I was in the hospital, so I was catching the shows on my phone that I was halfway lucid for, but I saw it all in the hospital. I just wasn't able to have the energy to go and do my... I tried to do my podcast, but I was just like, a bit hard to focus. People were coming in at the wrong time, so I had to wrap them up, and I wasn't trying to redo them. So my first three episodes, I have a podcast for. But this is going to be just an overall quick review. And I'm going to start off by saying I really enjoy Lower Decks. I like it. I love it. It's really good Star Trek. But for the most part, besides bits and pieces, Season 4 was kind of like a eh. It's like kind of like a retread of things they've already done. The one thing with animation is you can literally do whatever you want to. I mean, you can either draw a tree or you can draw a ship. So it's not like a live-action show where you can either create a matte painting of a tree or you can design the bridge of a starship. Those are two different cost assets. But in animation, in my opinion at least, you are able to have a broader canvas. You can do a lot of things. You can do a lot of stuff, and Season 4 just felt kind of like repeating things they've already done, going to places that they've already done just in a different way. And I gotta say that the thing that bugged me the most was the stuff with Mark Twain. Like, it would be good for like a little bit, but they went on way too long with it. It took over, like, they could be doing something else right now. Like, Boimler and Rutherford, they could have gone on a side mission, they could get stuck through a wormhole, and they could have got sent back through time and arrived in the time where that Mark Twain character, Clemens, was at. And, they could have interacted and just tried to avoid Picard on a side mission, to where they get that look and they get the idea. The voice calms them, and in the holodeck they repeat it, and that's where they get the idea from. It was kind of like, where did they get that idea from in the first place? I felt like it was kind of like this there. So there's just so much things they could have done in Season 4. Like, they started out good when they had the Voyager, because in Endgame, you got Admiral Janeway saying that Voyager is a museum on the grounds of whatever, and you can see it. And in that episode, we got to see it being exactly where she said it was going to be, at least close to where she says where she said it was going to be. And then we find out in Picard Season 3 that it was moved up into the actual museum up in space. So everything works together from the future Admiral Janeway talking about where it was in her timeline to now the prime timeline that we are watching, seeing that it's so mirroring those events. And then Season 3 Picard shows us that it's there. I think Season 4 of Lower Decks did the right thing with including that in the episode, so we got to see, all right, so it is on there, it's going to go there, and then it's going to go there. So I thought that was good. But the rest of them were kind of just like, I felt like I was watching Season 2 or a Season 1 episode again. It just didn't feel new and original. A lot of the stuff just felt like a retread. I mean, it was fun to watch. They were good episodes, clever writing. It was good stuff. You know, it was fun to watch, but it just felt like I was watching another episode again. There was a few bits and pieces that were kind of like, oh, that's kind of interesting, but it was overshadowed by the overall bulk of it being kind of like them going to this planet, something happening that's similar to something that happened in the first episode. And it just felt repetitious to me a little bit. There's like no episode where I'm like, I have to go watch Season 4, except for episode with Voyager. And then the last two episodes are what I wish that the whole season was like, where instead of us just getting that one ship doing its thing, they, instead of giving us the garbage stuff that was just filler part of every single episode, give us them on that planet trying to figure out who each other are, what's happening, where they're at. Give a slow build-up, and then we finally get to see everybody together at the same time doing something to do A leads to B leads to C, and then Mariner, the Klingon stuff, that was all great. 9 and 10 are like really great episodes of the entire Season 4. And I wish that we got more of the character relations that were kidnapped and put together on that planet. And they were having to figure out what they were doing and whatever else. So, and then we get to see a character from I don't know what season last it was, some season of TNG before where Wesley left. So before season three, I think, or four, where we actually get to see Nick Locarno. We get to see Wesley Crusher back, played by Wil Wheaton, and we get to see the girl, played by the original girl from that original episode, which I thought was amazing. I thought that was like the coolest thing, that we're bringing in an event that happened in TNG, and then we're showing you Mariner and how she reacted, and the fact that they all stood together and she was outside looking and showed that they weren't exactly buddy buddies, but they were just close in proximity. So Mariner might have a different memory than what they would have of their friendship. Like, yeah, we're all friends, but they're like, well, are we really? It kind of felt like there was like a distance between the Starburst people and Mariner, which I thought was great. So it really showed that Mariner might not be remembering how things actually were, which happens a lot. So no big thing that there's lines and dialogue in TNG where the girl says something different and things change. All depends upon when things were said and when things were happening. Mariner could have a falling out. We don't get anything but what we saw of those characters in TNG. So there's a lot of gaps, just like in Voyager, when there's this character that left and came back, and we had no idea she was even there until we found out that she was there. So because that already happened, it's not an unprecedented thing to where we get revealed information that wasn't necessarily true before, but because we get expanded upon the canon, then you get to know. The best example is Kirk in Star Trek Generations. In season 6 of TNG, Kirk just died of old age. Basically, there was no nexus, there was no nothing. It wasn't until Star Trek Generations was written and produced and made that the canon expanded to show that Kirk, for the duration of TNG, was not present in the universe. He was in the Nexus, hanging out with Whoopi Goldberg, Guinan, a version of her chopping wood. So you can see how canon can be expanded upon. It's not retconning, it's expanding. A retcon is if I say I was born in Detroit, and then a future episode I say I'm born in Hawaii. Expanded upon the canon is when I say that I went to the store and then I came home about 2.5 hours later, but then later on I tell you, yeah, I also went to GameStop. I'm not retconning anything. I'm just giving you more information about an event that existed and happened that you just needed more information on. A lot of people misunderstand what retcon means. It simply means changing an actual event. So, like, for instance, if I say I was born in 1990 in the pilot, and then 15 years later I say I was born in 1985, that's a retcon. But if I never say what year I was born, ever, then I'm expanding your knowledge, and it doesn't change the facts whatsoever. But back to season 4. The Voyager episode and episode 9 and 10 I thought were the best of the season, and I really wish that 9 and 10's themes and how they were doing it was the whole season, at least with what they were doing with the characters, because the Mariner come to terms with how she's been, and the Klingon helping her get into that, and then her telling her friends that she's been a douche the entire time, and she's going to seek to change that. I thought it was all great. Bringing back Locarno, reminding people that it character existed in TNG, just brings everything kind of full circle and grounds it in. So don't get me wrong. Season 4 was fine. It was okay. I'm not mad at it. I'm just saying that it didn't need to repeat chapters of its own novel to make me want to watch it. It just kind of, I was watching it and I'm like, okay, they did that before. They did that before. And then I didn't understand the whole alien doing the Clemens thing, because there's no reason for that to happen. So there was bits and pieces where I'm like, ugh. And I'm like, oh, why can't they expand upon it? doesn't change my love for the show. It's just I wish that they had been it would have been executed a little bit better, instead of just, I am happy that it wasn't the AI trying to take over. I'm really happy about that, because that would have just completely torpedoed season. I'm glad that they were doing their own thing, and we did tackle them, and they were downplayed, like he thinks he's going to be in charge, but he's not. So I'm glad that that idea wrapped up prior to what happened in 9 and 10. So it was able to give 9 and 10 kind of like its own feel. Like 9 doesn't necessarily open up a lot of stuff going on in 10, but it gives you the basic canvas in which 10's going to be painted on. So yes, it's out of left field, but before it, well, when you were watching TNG, when you were watching the episode before Cause and Effect, did you know Cause and Effect was going to happen? Did they sprinkle it in there? Or did it just come out of nowhere and just happen? It came out of nowhere and just happened. So I have no problem with Nick Locarno having no mention whatsoever in the previous episodes, because he doesn't need to be. There's no reason for it to happen. Just like every other episode of any TNG, Deep Space Nine, Voyager, Enterprise episode, you never know what's going to come next based off the episode you're watching right now. Unless it's a two-parter. So could they have put Nick Locarno all the way through? Yeah, but then it would be less of a reveal if you do that too much, or it's going to give you too much hype, and it's going to underperform. We don't want that. So the fact that they brought Nick Locarno at the last minute of episode 9 made episode 10 must-watch Star Trek. Did they do him justice? Did they do him right? Did what happened make a whole lot of sense? Of course not. But he was in his right mind in the first place. He was batshit crazy. The people going around with them were all sane, but they weren't thinking right, because they're like, hey, he's offering us this cool thing. Let's go do that. And they didn't know he was crazy. But I do think that the bomb thing, the Genesis 2 device, needing to get fed money before it went off, I thought that was pretty classic. A lot of people gave it a lot of hate. I think it was pretty awesome. Like, no matter what you do to turn it off, you're going to do it all right. You ain't got the latinum. You're going to go boom, boom. And I thought that Mariner's throwing herself in front of the bomb thing, I'm not moving nowhere. I'm not with you. I'm against you. And basically risking it all, the whole starship thing with the hand gear and going through all those different elements and not firing anything, just trying to save the galaxy. I thought episode 10 was great. That, like, that's my episode. Like, if I think of season 4, I'm thinking of Voyager episode, where we get to the cohesive connection to Endgame and Admiral Janeway from that alternative timeline, connecting to this, and then we also get to see Nick Locarno come back and how that's going to affect Mariner and how Mariner is connected to Nick Locarno. We get to see all of this stuff, although it does age Mariner. It makes her be where she's quite older than what you think she is in Lower Decks, but that's fine, because we got Wesley Crusher back, played by Will Wheaton, which is awesome. So I'm not mad at it. So while season 4 could have been better, I'm not mad at it. I appreciate it for what it is. I like most of the stories that they were talking about. I liked what was happening overall. There's just a little few things that I'm kind of like, could have been done a little bit differently, because there's so much more you can do with animation. Granted, yes, the ship is a support thing, but there's many things that you can do separately, or a side mission, or anything else that could lead you to going to do this cool thing while you're having your other cast doing this thing. So I think if you have a really cool A story, you should really have a really cool B story too. That way, when you're on the B story, like, ooh, B story, and you're not like, oh, I missed the A story. So I think A and B really should be as good as each other, and not like we had a really good A story and we're like just waiting and going through the motions of the B story, or maybe even the C story. Like when she goes down to the planet to get the information, and there's one person that's ahead of her in everything. And I really think that episode and 9 and 10 are basically this, basically parts of the same thing, because A leads to B leads to C. So it's really a movie, essentially, because each one's 23, 28, 8 minutes long. So you have a Star Trek Lower Decks movie if you take those three episodes and you put them together. Because really, they needed to track down him, got him to the ship, that got him to 9, that got him to 10. So I think it works as one cohesive movie if you just consider those three movies, those three episodes, one piece of a larger whole. And we find out that Billups is a person inside the costume, and she for the whole time knew what was going to happen. And she just outsmarted everybody and got the information that they needed. So I thought that was really well done. But there was a lot of stuff that was kind of like, what are you guys doing? What are you doing right now? Why are you spending time doing this? Why are you fighting over a plant? Why are you doing that? Do something interesting that's gonna draw me in, not make it out like you're a bunch of 6-year-olds fighting over something. Kind of irritated me just a little bit. I'm like, you guys are supposed to be grown-ups. Let's start acting like it. This whole 3 minutes of stuff could be something really cool. You could have an anomaly opening up outside the thing. The windows could break. You could get sucked into anything you want to get sucked into. There's just so many other options you could do besides fighting over a damn plant. But that's just me. Like I said, overall, I'm happy with season 4. It makes a good addition to the canon, because that's what we're doing. We're building out. It's just kind of weird how everything took place in like 2 years so far, because I think it started out in 2380, and according to last episode, we're only in 2381, which makes sense because Prodigy is supposed to be in 2383. I think one of the biggest things is when you have so many shows going on at the same time, it's important that you establish when your stuff is taking place. So if Prodigy takes place in 2383, state it somewhere what the hell year it is. If Lower Decks is taking place in 2381, fine. But make it clear what year you're in. So that way when YouTubers are talking about when things are happening, they don't have the wrong years, or they place it in the wrong place. It gets confusing. And then when people start talking about things, they get lost. And it's because the years are confused. And you get frustrated and you start seeing it breaks canon because it's the wrong year. And this happens here and that happens there. When in reality, it's just a miscommunication between the writers and the audience. It's very important. You can't do it like how TOS did, where you had no years. It was just kind of like the future, and it was always ambiguous. And then we come into the movies 1 through 6, then we learn what year stuff is set. And you're like, oh, okay, they had to put years so you knew when things were. But then it makes some of the dialogue inside of, like, Spacey not make a whole lot of lick of sense with what year things are based in and what year we say the eugenic wars take place. But then again, some people are, like, heavy canon. Some people just like a nice story. I'm kind of like a mixture of both. I like a cool story, but it's going to be a little curious question mark with an asterisk on why the stuff is a little bit different without any form of explanation outside of, well, it's a different show, different series, different writers, but it's supposed to be all set in the same continuity. But there's ways around that and ways you can explain how things are different. It's just nice to acknowledge it and not ignore it. Like, if I get in a car accident and I don't have a car anymore, I can't ignore the fact that I was in a car accident and just keep driving the car. I can't. It's totaled or destroyed or whatever, and I can't just ignore it. So I think the same thing applies for TVs and movies that have an established canon. You can't just ignore something, because in order to ignore it means it can't happen, which causes a retcon, which causes it to be more confusing and then make more people mad. But overall, season 4, I thought was good. It wasn't great, but it was good. And I'm excited for season 5. I hear that there could be some cameos and crossovers with Enterprise. Maybe. That's a grain of salt right now. I know they're in production on it now that all the strikes are over with. And I think there's an animation difference clause in the contract. So I'm not sure exactly how far into season 5 the production is going. But I know that Strange New World season 3 is going to be started in December. I think December 11th. And Discovery was already done, basically just doing touches up and the conclusion to wrap it up into a series finale, because when they originally shot the season 5 of Discovery, it wasn't a series finale, so they had to modify and change it, and then a little while later strikes happened. So and not to mention Prodigy season 2 being launched on Netflix, that's coming out December 25th, and then season 2 I'm going to drop sometime in January something in the early part, so we have a lot of Star Trek coming. on the horizon, and that's exciting. I hope it keeps up, but that will conclude this podcast.